This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us is Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. This is a special segment. We are going to quiz Jeff as to all of the positions coached to see if he knows the names of the whole news. Just kidding. Jeff.
I think I would do pretty well. And there's a few that I'm a little gray on, but yeah. Busy.
All I know is I've been getting repetitive emails with announcements of new coaches coming in. And I don't know. There was one day it was like, back and forth, Donald Trump email, Saints email, Donald Trump email, Saints emails like crazy.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing right now is the Saints haven't actually announced their staff. Like, we're kind of, you know, you're going based off reports and you confirm those reports and whatnot. But at this point, you know, you're kind of just going through and saying, okay, this is this guy, what's left to actually fill. But yeah, you know the offensive coordinator, you know the defensive coordinator, so you can at least start to, especially on the defensive side of the ball, figure out, okay, what are the Saints going to do? You know, my plan today, you know, when I started already, is I'm going through the 2020 Rams games, because that's where Brandon Staley, who's the new Saints defensive coordinator, was at his last defensive coordinator stop. Honestly, the only full defensive coordinator stop he's had was with the Rams in 2020, leading that really good defense out in LA before he took the Chargers job. So, you know, that's kind of this time of year is figuring out what the Saints might actually look like next year.
And what have you learned thus far about his approach?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because it's going to be most likely a 3-4 scheme, a hybrid 3-4 scheme, which means three down linemen, four kind of stand-up linebackers, outside linebackers. And so you can get a little more creative in terms of how you can send pressure, where you can send pressure from. You know, you're going to ask your linebackers to be a little bit more coverage-centric, right? You're going to have to be able to drop into coverage a lot more than you would out of a 4-3. You know, it's not a blitz-heavy scheme, but they'll send a lot of third-down blitzes to kind of get the quarterback uncomfortable. It's what he did with the Rams and what he did with the Chargers was more zone-heavy, kind of a zone-match scheme where you might show zone to start and then roll into something late based on what the offense is doing. So, you know what, it's gonna be interesting to see what the Saints do with their personnel, because I don't think they are built currently to run the defense that Brandon Staley most likely is going to come in. Now, he could adjust what he does to fit what the Saints do, and I think any good defensive coordinator is going to adjust their scheme somewhat to kind of take advantage of what the personnel does best. But I think you're going to see over the next 1 to 2 seasons, this defense kind of be rebuilt a little bit and retooled, you know, definitely through the draft with some different skill sets in mind, because they have been a 4-3 kind of big body defensive end scheme that's going to have to change. They've been a press man, you know, scheme from a secondary perspective that's going to have to change. You're going to figure out, okay, can the DBs on the roster kind of make that transition and do a few different things than they've been asked to do? Or do you have to kind of move on? Like a guy like Paulson Adebo, for example, you know, you're weighing probably whether to re-sign him. Well, you know, we haven't seen him in that type of scheme. So does that change your opinion on whether it's worth bringing him back coming off that major injury, or maybe go in a different direction, maybe spend a few premium picks on the secondary? So you know, that's kind of where I am right now is, you know, figuring out, okay, who do the Saints have and what can they do? For example, I don't think they have a nose tackle on the roster. I think you go into the draft season, you're out in the combine this week. I think that's where you're looking, like who can come in here and be kind of a day one nose tackle.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it in that respect as to nose tackle, because that's kind of the heart of the line, right?
Yeah, you need kind of that big-bodied, you know, space-eating defensive tackle who is, you know, basically they're in there to eat double teams and be a pain against the run. You know, a guy like Brian Brzee, interestingly, you know, he's a first-round pick a few years ago. I think he profiles perfectly as a 3-4 defensive end. I think he's actually a better fit in that kind of end role than he is as that traditional kind of three technique in a 4-3. So, you know, that's one position you can say, hey, I feel good about this, but who's the guy kind of lining up in the middle? And I just don't think they have it. So, you know, you look at some of these top end prospects, you know, Mason Graham, if they could get him, would be perfect to get out of Michigan, but I don't know if he'll be around. You know, a Deion Walker out of Kentucky, maybe you could bring him in the second round. I think these are the types of things that the Saints are kind of be spending a lot of time on this offseason trying to figure out what all they can do, because on defense in particular, I think you're just going to have to do a lot of different things.
So correct me if I'm wrong, in the 3-4 as opposed to the 4-3, your view of the linebackers, you really want to have some guys that have some significant foot speed, right?
Yeah, you need versatility, I think would be the word I would go for. You need people to be able to, you know, rush the quarterback, drop into coverage. You know, in the 4-3, it's a little more standard, right? And you're worried about run fits and you're worried about different things. But yeah, I think more athletic linebackers in general would be what you would look for. And then you kind of figure out, okay, the guys on the roster, what can they do? I think, you know, a guy like Anthony Orji is really intriguing in a 3-4. Because he can play multiple positions. He did that in college. You know, and I think the outside linebackers, which is really just a fancy word for what you would call a defensive end in this current system, you know, you need to – you're probably going to err on the smaller side, which the Saints have not done, right? You're probably going to bring in some smaller-bodied pass rushers. And the guy like Chase Young, can he kind of transition into that? I don't know. I can't recall what they played in Washington while he was there. Carl Granderson, I think, you know, maybe you look at him and say, hey, he could probably drop a couple pounds, get a little bit more foot speed in that way. So, but yeah, I think versatility and yeah, athleticism in general, whereas in the past, you're looking at kind of run stopping defensive ends. You don't really need that as much in the 3-4 because you just have more bodies to throw at it.
So when do we expect that the Saints will make a formal announcement of their entire staff lineup? I mean, do they still have a number of positions that have yet to be filled?
Yeah, I think you're going to see them make an announcement when they feel like they have the entire staff. I think they just don't want to have to deal with making multiple, you know, right, announcements from that respect. And so I think on offense, you're pretty close to being done. I have some questions about some of the down-the-line assistants, you know, like Ajari Evans. Are you keeping him around? Are you going to figure something out there? But for the most part, I think the offensive side is set. On the defensive side, there are several positions left to fill. They did hire Terry Joseph, who's the cousin of Vance Joseph, who's he's a New Orleans native. He was actually a star baseball player in college. He got drafted by the Cubs before transitioning into coaching, and he's been a college assistant forever. He spent the last several years at Texas, who obviously a program that's had a ton of success, gone to the college football playoff semifinal each of the last 2 years. Jahdae Barron was, the Jim Thorpe winner this year. So, you know, he's had a pretty good track record of developing defensive backs. He's going to be their defensive pass game coordinator. But, you know, secondary coach, linebackers coach, both Joe Woods and Michael Hodges have left for other jobs. Defensive line coach is a question. Brian Young, who was the pass rush specialist forever, was elevated into the full defensive line coach role last season. Are you going to stick with him? Are you going to try to kind of keep him around as a pass rush specialist, bring in a new defensive line coach? Todd Grantham was that guy. The first half of the season, he was transitioned into kind of a senior assistant role, and then he ended up going to the college ranks to be a defensive coordinator. So now there's I would say, 3, 4, 5 more defensive coach hires you're going to see. And you have a couple of assistants on the staff that maybe you consider keeping around. But I would expect once all of those hires are made, which I would think this week, next week, you'd probably want to have that done by, then you'll get a full announcement. And then they'll do something to introduce the staff in terms of media availability.
So, Jeff, for the benefit of the listening audience, what is like the most critical date that's coming up on the calendar for the Saints?
You know, I wouldn't say that there are any super critical dates in the, you know, near future, right? You're trying to get these hires done. You know, March, the mid-March is when Derek Carr's, roster bonus would come into effect. So if you were considering doing something with him prior to that kind of vesting, you might want to get something done by then. If you're planning on keeping him around and restructuring that deal, then you're just going to kind of let that come and pass and nothing would get done because you're going to pay that $10 million roster bonus. So I really think at this point, there's no deadline per se. You know, obviously the new league year is when you would need to be under the salary cap. That's in March. So, I think once you get this coaching staff in place, then you'll start to work on the cap because you're going to get an idea of, okay, which players we can keep around, which players maybe we need to move on from a little more quickly based on what they can do in the scheme. But I would expect some more hires over the next couple weeks, and then from there you'll start the salary cap kind of purge, which at this point they're about $45 million over. The cap came in a little higher than anticipated, which is helpful. I mean, helpful for everyone, but it's especially helpful for a team that's $45 million over the salary cap because you get a few extra million you can work with on the back end. So that's kind of where we are right now.
When we say, and you said this earlier, and everyone is saying this, that, you know, the Saints are going to be going into a series of rebuilding years, my gut tells me that's a very fluid definition, rebuild. What is that, for you, from your perspective, what does that actually mean in respect to the Saints?
Yeah, I'd actually disagree with a lot of the takes out there in the sense that I feel like the Saints have been passively rebuilding for a few years now. That kind of got thrown a bit off because of the Derek Carr contract, because you hired a new head coach and wanted to get him as quarterback. So, you know, that kind of took a lump, but I'd say they've been in the rebuilding phase since 2023 and even 2022 in the sense that, you know, Sean Payton left and you got a new head coach and you didn't really go out and sign a bunch of major contracts. And that's what rebuilding is you're not leveraging the future so much for the present. You're kind of trying to get back to square one in that respect. And you look at what they did last year, they only signed 1-year deals with a bunch of veteran free agents that you could bring in at a reasonable amount. Even Chase Young, 1 year, $13 million. That's a very reasonable contract for a defensive end and a former number 2 overall pick. So I just think it's more of that, right? It's more of, you know, you have 9 draft picks. I would expect you to make at least 7 of them, and I would expect a good chunk of that draft class to get significant playing time. You're relying more on rookies. You're focusing more on development, and you're still trying to win. Kellen Moore has no interest in coming in here and losing 16 games and getting the number 1 overall pick. Would that be a terrible thing to have happen based on the quarterback class in next year's draft? No, but the Saints aren't going to go out there and try to lose games. That might happen as a product of playing younger players and not bringing in veteran free agents to plaster over some of the holes that exist in the roster. But that's really what it is. It's allowing maybe the roster holes to kind of be filled naturally as opposed to, you know, investing in some players with a bit of a track record and making sure that as you're restructuring deals, as the Saints will have to do to some extent, you are not doing that flippantly to the point that next year we go in with the same cap overage. Ideally, in 2026, you'll be a lot closer to scratch at this point so that if you do feel like, and when you do feel like your title window is back and is open again, which would likely come when you feel like you have a quarterback you know, like look at the Commanders, right? I don't think they felt like they had a title window, and then all of a sudden Jaden Daniels shows up, and suddenly that title window is wide open, and you're going to get a lot more aggressive. When the Saints feel like that's the case again, then you want to be in a scenario where you can kind of pounce on that and start to kind of push that out, right? The Eagles have been doing the exact same thing the Saints have been doing. The difference is the Eagles went and won a Super Bowl, and the Saints have missed the playoffs the last 4 years. So that's, I think it's just, it's a lot more of a take your medicine type approach, and I think that's where you're going to be definitely this year and probably next year as well.
Do you go through the exercise that as you look at the roster? I mean, I hear this a lot amongst the pundits where they identify must-go players. Like if they're on next year's roster, you're really behind the eight ball still.
I don't think so. And I don't necessarily think the issue with the Saints is that they have too many old players, right? Because when you look at the roster and you look at, okay, the veteran players on the roster, Cam Jordan obviously had a down year last year. I thought he was their best pass rusher over the second half of this past season. So I think he's still available and playing well. Tyrann Mathieu, same thing. DeMario Davis, same thing. Like the veterans you have that people would say, oh, we got to move on from him. Like they're probably your most consistent players. To me, the issue is young players and the young players who have not stepped in and taken, you know, best case scenario is you have a young player playing so well that it forces these veterans off the field. You haven't had that. So that's where you need to improve. So I don't know if it's necessarily, if you get this guy off the roster, you'll get better. I think it's, we need to find players in the draft that can take those spots. And once you have the players playing, you know, pushing those veterans kind of out of the picture, which is kind of a not a great way to look at it, but it has, like, in order to be sustainably effective, you have to have that kind of young pipeline, you know, pushing those older guys out of the picture a little bit. So I don't look at it that way so much as I look at, okay, what are the positions where you need young talent to take over? And there are definitely a lot of those, particularly on the defensive line right now, that I just don't think it's happening.
And that's an interesting thing because their success actually potentially elongates the guy, you know, with experience, his career, right? He can play longer if he's not having to play as often. And you use him as, you know, in much more situational type football, where when you look at teams that get to the big game and make it through the playoffs, you see that happening where they utilize exactly that scheme that you just talked about. They're able to give them some rest and have them play in more situational stuff that's a lot more meaningful at that point in time in the game, and you draw upon that experience.
Yeah, and the fact is when you look at this last season, okay, what stood out? Well, the injuries were insurmountable, and I think any team has kind of that, you know, waypoint of, okay, once you get to this amount of injuries, kind of that critical mass of injuries, you cannot win football games. Every team that you look at, whether it's the best team in the NFL, whether it's the worst team in the NFL, there's going to be a point that if we have this many injuries, we are not going to be able to win football games, right? The issue for the Saints is that that number for them is way lower than it should be. Where if you look at the top line of this Saints roster, I think there's a competitive team that can win football games in there. You take away five or six pieces from that, and the pieces you're filling in with are not good enough to win football games. And what the Saints need to do is kind of rebuild that deck behind, you know, because there's a lot of young players that got chances to play this year. And I can't point to a man other than maybe Rico Paton on special teams that I would say, okay, well, that guy played so well that he needs to get more playing time. Right. And there's the other element of, hey, you drafted Zach Bond. I think the theory at that point in 2020 was, DeMario Davis can't play forever. So eventually DeMario is going to fall off or maybe even retire, and you'd be able to have this high pedigree guy take over that spot. And the issue was, well, I guess DeMario can feasibly play forever. At least that's what the evidence points to. So that does make it difficult. You have to make some hard choices. And that's why it's frustrating when you see a guy like Zach Bond, who was developed here, go out to Philadelphia and play as well as he did, because you never got that kind of pass the torch moment at middle linebacker. With a player who's clearly ready to play. So, you know, I think that's some of the decisions the Saints have to make this offseason of, okay, yes, these veteran players have been around forever and are such a key part of what we do are very important, and we don't want to just kind of put them out to pasture. But when you're in a rebuild, as you said, those are the decisions you start to have to make.
Yeah. And unfortunately for the Saints in the last two seasons, they hit that injury number many times during both seasons. Right?
So No question.
Yeah. I mean, if there were stretches there. If they didn't have bad luck, they had no luck at all. It was just, you know, you just sat back and like, okay, what else? How can this get any worse?
One other thing they've done so far, just quickly, is, you know, they have replaced Matt Ray, who is the sports science director, with Ted Rath, I want to say his name is. He was with the Eagles previously. I don't think he was with an NFL team last year. So it does seem like they are trying to reset the deck on that front from an injury prevention standpoint.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps. Because, yeah, like you said, you know, the injuries, while you would love for the young players to be able to fill in and win games for you, the injuries, you'd prefer to them to not happen at all. So that's something they do have to look at.
No doubt. As always, truly enjoy the conversation with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great week. Have a great Mardi Gras, Jeff.
You too, Neil. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.